This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, January 4th, 2021. I'm Gavin Dahl. Let's take a look at many of the laws changing in Colorado as of the first of the year. Colorado workers who leave their jobs due to domestic violence will now face fewer hurdles when they apply for unemployment benefits. A new law that took effect Friday says residents no longer need to provide written documentation of the domestic violence incident to apply for the benefits. Previously, some workers had to get written statements from counselors or police as part of the application process. The state expects the change will lead to an increase in the number of people qualifying for the benefits. Colorado's state government will kick off the new year with a little less power. The state will no longer be able to start new programs, like the Colorado Lottery, that rely on fees without getting voter approval. The new restriction is in place after voters narrowly passed Proposition 117 in the November election. It was sponsored and supported by conservatives seeking to limit government spending. A new law now in effect aims to protect Colorado renters from discrimination when they apply for housing. Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Landlords can no longer deny housing applications based on a person's source of income. That includes people who rely on government subsidies or housing vouchers. Governor Jared Polis says many Coloradans have been unfairly blocked from renting because of where their paychecks come from. The law also bans listing income requirements in certain housing advertisements. Landlords can still run credit checks as part of the search process. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
Cigarettes and other nicotine products are now more expensive in Colorado. Again, here's Scott Franz.
The price increases are a result of Proposition EE, which voters overwhelmingly passed in November. Cigarettes will carry a minimum price tag of $7 per pack under the new law. It will also gradually raise the state tax rate on nicotine products, including vaping products, over the next 7 years. The tax increases are expected to boost state funding for schools and housing programs by tens of millions of dollars. Supporters hope it lowers the smoking rate. Critics say the measure will hurt lower-income residents. Tobacco companies are challenging the tax measure in court, but a federal judge recently rejected part of their lawsuit.
And another new law now in effect will allow more Colorado workers to take paid time off when they are sick. Once more, here's Scott Franz.
Any business with at least 16 employees must start allowing their workers to earn up to 48 hours of paid leave yearly. Democratic State Senator Steve Finberg of Boulder sponsored the measure. He says almost half of Colorado workers lack the benefit.
And they know that if they get sick, they want to be able to do the right thing, stay home, and not risk getting other people sick. But they also know that in their current, in the situation they're in, it really does mean deciding between a paycheck or a day's worth of wages or being able to take care of yourself or a family member.
The new law also aims to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. It will apply to smaller businesses with less than 16 employees in 2022.
Today we hear the next story in our Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition Fossil Fuels Reporting Collaboration. With changing commodity prices and speculation, oil and gas wells on public lands aren't always pumping. KZMU Moab's Justin Higginbottom investigates the lost zones in Utah where wells are holding land from wilderness management, if not polluting.
Last spring, the price of oil plummeted. Around Utah, producers began shutting in wells and temporarily stopping production. It's not unusual. The pause in extraction can last a month, a year, or even decades. For operators, it's no big deal. Public land management for oil and gas in Utah follows a three-stage process. First, the Bureau of Land Management prepares a resource management plan, or what land will be available for oil and gas leasing. Then, the agency offers parcels for development. Finally, they receive drilling proposals. Here's Landon Newell, a staff attorney at the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance.
The management plans for Utah were largely prepared during the George W. Bush administration, and all of the plans put a finger on development.
Not only that, but leases are often offered at rock-bottom prices, sometimes for less than a cup of coffee per acre. Utah's had 153 bids of $10 per acre or less between 2007 and 2017, according to Taxpayers for Common Sense. This low cost of leasing has led to what Newell and others call lease speculation. Companies can buy up leases and sit on them without developing, and this has had an impact on how that land is managed.
The BLM will oftentimes decline from protecting a certain area that could be for wildlife reasons or for water quality reasons or for wilderness character reasons, because there's an existing oil and gas lease.
There are non-producing wells that hold land throughout southeastern Utah, an area of the country increasingly prized for its remote and untouched wilderness.
There was a well drilled down on an area of land called Hatch Point. And this well was drilled, I believe, in the 80s or the early 90s. And it's not a producing well, never has been. It's been shut in since it was drilled.
There's an oil well shut in since 2011, just north of Dead Horse Point State Park, owned by Wesco Operating, a Golden Eagle exploration gas well that's only produced 66 days since 2008, is in the Paradox Basin. Another well just north of Hovenweet National Monument has produced for around 2 months since the spring of 2013. It's owned by Diversified Energy. And Newell says there are decades of old leases in the Box Death Hollow Wilderness area.
And like the well in Hatch Point, those leases have never been put into production.
Once a lease is sold to a company, it can be renewed easily every 10 years. The BLM can't prohibit development unless there are no surface occupancy restrictions. When the price of oil collapsed in the spring, refineries scaled back production across the country. The only option for some producers was to shut in their wells. According to Utah's Division of Oil, Gas, and Mining, the number of shut-in wells were 10% higher during May and June of 2020 compared to the previous year. That totaled just over 400 idled wells. Production has rebounded, and the number of shut-in wells is now only around 8% higher. Deputy Director Bart Kettle says the state is tasked with checking the integrity of non-producing wells and making sure they aren't abandoned by operators.
The number one thing that we're going to look at as wells are shut in is if there's mechanical integrity. Does it isolate that well from potential usable sources of drinking water?
If the well isn't polluting, it can hold the land. Jason O'Neill at the Western Values Project says it's time we update our laws. He says we should start by changing the Mineral Leasing Act of 1920.
So our guiding document for how we go forward with how we lease our public lands in these important areas and is based on a 100-year-old law. Quite frankly, it's wildly out of date.
Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, along with New Mexico Senator Tom Udall, introduced bipartisan legislation last year to do just that. The Fair Returns for Public Lands Act increases royalty rates from 12.5% to 18.75%, and it increases the minimum bids for leasing from $2 per acre to $10. O'Neill says we need laws like this to make leases more costly. Without change, Utah could get the worst of both worlds, no production or protection.
You know, you can have areas that become sort of lost zones, right? I mean, these areas aren't great places and have undermined the wildlife habitat opportunities.
Oil is still under $40 per barrel. The price may rebound eventually in Utah, but for those holding leases, it doesn't really need to. The land is theirs. Justin Higginbottom reporting for KZMU.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.